familiar with this text, it's probably because you heard it at a sermon at a funeral. It's commonly used, especially the ones that I've been at, you hear this text preached a lot. Because it is a text that gives comfort to a grieving family as they long for some comfort and hope as a loved one has passed away. But like I said just now, today we are going to look at this text in another light this morning. You see, I want us to look at this text as a guide for living, for life. Now the heart of this text are the words of Jesus when he says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Now I would like to really dwell on those words this morning, that I am the way and the truth and the life. So you're going to hear that all the time. And if you want to look up because you're remembering that, the children's message, by all means do. Because again, Jesus is truly the way for us. The way to life. The way to the Heavenly Father. But many of us, unfortunately, search for the meaning of life in things of this world that don't reflect the earthly kingdom. But in this morning's text, again, Jesus is telling us that he truly is the way of the world. He is our only way to the Father, the heavenly host. Now I want to share with you, I shared with you a modern parable last week, and I want to share with you another one as I feel this really ties in to this meaning of Jesus being the way, the life to the Father. So I want you to listen really closely. It's a little long, but you will understand why I'm sharing this with you. You see, a traveler was returning to his home from a journey to a distant country. At nightfall, he arrived in the entrance of a vast forest. Now, unable either to delay his journey or retrace his steps, he was prepared to traverse the sullen forest by himself when he came upon an old shepherd from whom he asked the way. "Alas," cried the shepherd, "it is not easy to point it out, for the forest is crisscrossed by hundreds of paths winding in every direction." You see, they are almost similar in appearance, though all with one exception lead to the great abyss. You might be asking this morning, what is the great abyss? And the traveler also inquired, what is the great abyss? "You see, it is the abyss which surrounds the forest," replied the shepherd. "Moreover, the forest is filled with robbers and wild beasts. In particular, it is ravaged by enormous serpent, so that scarcely a day passes that we find remains of some unfortunate travelers who fell prey to this abyss and what was in it." Still, the shepherd continued, "As it is impossible to arrive at the place where you are going without traversing the forest, I have, through a motive of compassion, stationed myself at the entrance of the forest to assist and to direct travelers. I have also placed my sons at a different interval to assist me in the same good work. You see, their services and mine are at your disposal, and I am ready to accompany you if you so desire." The candor and venerable appearance of the old man satisfied this traveler, and he accepted the proposal. The shepherd held a lantern in one hand, and with the other took the arm of the traveler. They then set out on this journey through the dark forest. Now, after walking for a distance, the traveler felt the strength waning. "Lean on me," said the shepherd. The traveler did so and was able to complete this journey. At length, though, the lamp began to flicker. "Ah," groaned the traveler, "the oil is nearly spent, and the light will soon be gone. What will become of us now?" "Do not fear," consoled the shepherd. "We shall soon meet one of my sons, who will supply us with more oil." Just then the traveler perceived a glimmer of light shining through that darkness. The light shone from a small cabin by the side of the narrow path. At the sound of the shepherd's well-known voice, a cabin door swung open. A seat was offered to this weary traveler, and some plain but substantial food was set before him. Thus refreshed, that traveler set out again, still guided by the shepherd's son. In this manner, the traveler journeyed on for the rest of the night. From time to time, they stopped at different cabins, built along this path. At each stop, he obtained refreshments, a bit of rest, and was furnished with new oil and a new guide. With the dawn of daylight, the traveler arrived without incident at the farthest boundary of that forest. And only then did he appreciate the magnitude of the service rendered him by the shepherd and of his sons. And at the very edge of the forest, right before his feet, lay a frightful, deep cliff, at the bottom of which he could distinguish the roar of an angry current. "This," said his guide, "is the great abyss, which my father spoke about. No one knows its depth, for it is always covered with a thick fog, which no eye can penetrate." As he spoke, he heaved a deep sigh and wiped the tear from his eyes. "You seem grieved," said the traveler. "How can it be otherwise?" replied the guide. "Can I look at the abyss without thinking of the thousands of unfortunate people who every day got swallowed up in that abyss of their life? In vain do my fathers and brothers offer our services. Very few follow them. And of those few, the greater portion, after journeying for a few hours, accuse us of needlessly alarming them. So they despise our advice, and they set out on the paths on their own choosing, without the guides. Now the consequence is that they soon lose their way, or maybe were devoured, or plunge headlong into that abyss. You see, there is only this one little bridge by which the great abyss can be crossed. And the way which leads to the bridge is known to us alone. Pass over with confidence," continued the guide. He turned to the traveler. He embraced him and said, "On the other side is your true home." The traveler, overcome with gratitude, thanked his charitable guide and promised never to forget him. He crossed that narrow bridge and discovered he was now on his own land, set free, and his family was there to welcome him. Can you see what I saw in this modern parable? The guiding hand of God and his son, Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus guides us around and through the abysses of our life. And I want you to look at this, the story I just shared with you. The way that I see it, the stations along the way represent the followers of Jesus that we encounter, that are willing to help, to give Jesus' word, like we are supposed to as disciples, to follow what Jesus calls us to do. And the cabins in this story, I think, are what we are doing today. The church that we gather to get refilled, to get refreshed, so then we can leave this place and go out there and live in the world being guided by Jesus. And also, our venture is over when the cross, the abyss, death, and the grave, and we are ushered home through Jesus across the bridge to the heavenly kingdom that we are promised through what Jesus did on the cross and rose again. But notice that many become weary of being led along the path. Many venture out on their own and somehow end up in the abyss because they chose to follow themselves and to follow the one that can truly guide us. So the question this morning can be asked to you and to me: will you allow Jesus to lead your life? Will you allow Jesus to lead your life of the gift that he has already given us? And are you willing to let Jesus lead? And are you willing to let Jesus guide you through this life, through the abyss of our lives here on earth? And Jesus says, that gives us the hope, I am the way and the truth and the life. And I want to share with you from Gerhard Frost, who is a professor at Luther College, tells this story. Imagine you are walking through your neighborhood and you pass a house where this family is getting ready to go on vacation and is loading the car. And there are three children who are all under the age of 5 are sitting in the minivan waiting eagerly for mom and dad to finish those last minute plans and details. So you walk up to the minivan, you poke your head in the window and you ask, where are you going? They don't know. What highway are you taking? With wide eyes, they say, we have no idea. Where are you going to have supper tonight? Again, the children say, we have no clue. Then you ask, with whom are you going with? Their eyes brighten. With daddy and mommy, of course, they answer. No hesitation. They didn't know exactly where they were going. They didn't know the way. They didn't know where they would eat or they would sleep. But with whom they were going, with that they knew. That was all that mattered. They were going with mommy and daddy. And mommy and daddy would take care of them, would provide for them, and would bring them to their final destination on this trip. That is our point of the gospel lesson this morning, isn't it? We travel the road of life. We don't know what lies ahead. We don't know all the turns and the curves along the way. But the one thing that we know, that I truly hope, that we can all say this, that the one thing that we do know truly is that Jesus is our guide, and he is guiding us always. And let me share with you this closing story that I think really tells about Jesus being that guide for us. Now, years ago, I was enthralled as I listened to a pastor who for several years had faithfully served his congregation. His executive responsibilities had taken him all over the country. And as he concluded his message, he told of one of the most frightening yet thought-provoking experiences of his life that he encountered. You see, he had been on a long flight. The first warning of his approaching problems came when the sign on the airplane, and we all know that if we've flown before, flashed right in front of him, fasten your seatbelts. Then, after a while, a calm voice came on and said, we shall not be serving the beverages at this time, as we are expecting a little turbulence. Please be sure that your seatbelt is fastened. As he looked around the aircraft, it became obvious that more of the passengers were becoming apprehensive. And later again, a voice on the announcement said, we are so sorry that we are unable to serve the meal at this time. The turbulence is still ahead of us. And then the storm broke. The ominous crack of thunder could be heard even above the roar of the engines of the plane. Lightning lit up the darkening skies, and within moments, that great plane was like a cork tossed around a celestial ocean. One moment, the airplane was lifted on terrific currents of air, and the next, it dropped as if it were about to crash. The pastor confessed that he shared the discomfort and fear of those all around him. And he said, as I looked around the plane, I could see that nearly all the passengers were fearful, upset, and alarmed. Some even started to pray. The future seemed ominous, and many were wondering if they would even make it through the storm. And then suddenly, the pastor saw a girl to whom the storm meant nothing. She had tucked her feet beneath her as she sat on her seat. She was reading a book. Everything within her small world was calm and orderly. Sometimes she closed her eyes, and then she would breathe again. Then she would straighten her legs, but worry and fear were not in her world. When the plane was being buffeted by these terrible storms, when it lurched this way and this way, it rose and fell with frightening severity, when all adults were scared half to death, that marvelous child was completely composed and unafraid. The minister could hardly believe his eyes. It was not surprising, therefore, that when the plane reached its final destination and all the passengers were hurrying to disembark and get off that plane, he lingered to speak to this girl whom he had watched for such a long time during the storm. Having commented about the storm and behavior of the plane, the pastor asked why she had not been afraid. And the sweet child's reply was this: "Sir, my dad is the pilot, and he is taking me home." Jesus says, "I am the way, I am the truth, and the life." So I leave you, as we are in our earthly kingdom, may Jesus be your true guide. We know that he has given us this great gift. We sit here and we claim we're believers. But when you get into that abyss of life, when struggles can start taking you and pulling you away to a different path, I encourage you to be like this girl and know her daddy is leading the way, that all things go through Jesus up to our heavenly kingdom. And that is the good news of today, as Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and the life. May we follow the same. To God be the glory. Amen.